Cape Talk. Cape Talk. A world view from London with Adam Gilchrist.
Good morning, Adam Gilchrist from London in the UK. I hope you are well. I hope you guys are settling in for what is going to be called a winter of discontent, high energy prices, a shortage of gas. Everywhere around the world seems to be a very, very depressed economic space one way or the other.
Yeah, what happened? I mean, the pandemic was one thing, but post-pandemic, things are really just going through the floor, aren't they? It's not good. I was looking on a map the other day, actually, thinking, where would be a good place to spend winter if one was able to do that? And you have trouble finding anywhere that might not have blackouts, for instance, energy cuts, and that'll let you in the first place, or is still grappling with the pandemic as well, is another one, you know, places which still have kind versions of lockdown, if you like. So I think probably under a duvet is probably the best place to spend
Adam,
the next 3-4 months.
Let me do my job for South African tourism. I'll pull up a cot bed for you at my house. Don't worry about load shedding. Just see it as state-sanctioned nap time. So for up to 6 hours a day in 2-hourly increments, you could have a state-sponsored nap. I invite you. Maybe spend some time with us here in Cape Town. But let's get to the really, really shocking, horrific news coming out of Thailand. A mass shooting tragedy at a nursery school. It is a parent's, it's any human being's worst nightmare.
It's so upsetting. It really is. And I don't want to add to anyone's upset who's already felt moved by this. So we'll steer clear of some of the stuff that is coming out. But we know that 37 people were killed. We know that 23 of them were children. And that this former policeman, essentially, had been sacked from his job for using drugs just a few months ago. And goodness knows what went on in his head. But he went round to the nursery school, or the daycare centre, as some might call it. He went round to the nursery school, and the first person he killed was a pregnant teacher, and then didn't stop, using a shotgun, a handgun, and a knife, and mainly the knife, on 2- and 3-year-olds, for goodness sake. So the aftermath of this is that, to some extent, it's absolutely awful, but could have been even worse. There are normally 92 children at this nursery school, but because of bad weather and other issues, a lot of parents had kept their kids out. And so there are only 24 children, I say only 24, one survived out of the 24. So goodness knows what it could have been had it been another day. But, I mean, it's clutching at straws because it's tragic enough. But also, of course, now they're looking at gun laws, gun controls. This former policeman legally owned his guns, but after being sacked from the police for drug use, should he have been stripped of them, would be one of the key questions. And when you see the parents turning up at the nursery school, and it's the whole village, this is a fairly remote part of Thailand, it's a long way from Bangkok anyway, you see the parents turning up with their kids' favourite toys, their now dead kids' favourite toys, and tears on their faces, and you just think, well, you know, any society that sees that surely has to look at exactly how that sort of thing could be stopped in the future. I wonder if ultimately, you know, somebody twigs and becomes violent, and how do you stop that? I suppose access to weapons is the key thing. So whether they'll change their gun laws, we'll see.
It's the horror of horrors. But let's go and focus on the impact of the Russia-Ukraine war. And after what Russia has basically called for conscription of able-bodied men, you have two conscripts who have escaped Russia, ended up in Alaska. Does this mean that they jumped on a boat and crossed the Bering Strait to get away from conscription?
Absolutely that, yes. And again, if you look at a map, you think it's not very far. Well, 450, 500 kilometers to cross from Russia to Alaska. It's not iced over this time of the year. Not that I think it ever is comfortably iced over anyway. So they basically, yes, it appears, absolutely jumped in a boat to get to America, to escape the Russian military. That's what they told locals when they pitched up on St. Lawrence Island. They were found in a small boat. Now, of course, they're being processed by all sorts of departments of Homeland Security and other agencies in America. They reckon that they had taken only a few hours to cross the Bering Strait. But it is estimated 260,000 Russians, mainly Russian men, have fled the country since Vladimir Putin announced the mobilization. So I think that's 2 weeks, isn't it? Or in less than 2 weeks. 260,000 Russians fleeing to all parts, Georgia in particular, but also Finland, and now, as we're hearing, Alaska. Wow.
I can see Russia from my house. Was Sarah Palin right? In that these two conscripts got onto a boat and rowed from Russia. I don't know if they rowed, but they got themselves safely across the Bering Strait. And finally, robocabs. Driverless taxis are now driving the streets of San Francisco.
Yeah, they are here. They are, to some extent, part of an experiment, but they are happening. Fully driverless robo-taxis allowed at night in San Francisco for paying members of the public. In fact, you can hail one, old-fashioned style, as well as book one online. The company that runs these things, called Cruise, says the cars are going to revolutionize transport. The overriding reaction so far of passengers, certainly on the film I saw, is really, really weird. It's weird sitting in a car with nobody up front. And also the way it reacts, it doesn't react like a human being. Mm. And sometimes it doesn't seem to react like a computer. It's a sort of, it's the artificial intelligence element of the taxi learning as it goes. So when it comes across, say, a car or a bus slewing across a lane and another one pulling out, it gets a bit confused and sometimes just kind of stops. So no boy racing. The programmers say they've set it to cautious and careful. But there again, of course, it is driving the relatively benign streets of San Francisco. Chuck it into L.A. or New York. Let's see what happens there. Or rather, let's not see what happens there, because critics are saying this is far too premature to put autonomous taxis on urban streets. Dangerous. And they're kind of being slightly borne out by a number of minor accidents. I mean, there have been minor accidents so far since the experiment began. But next stop, robo-cabs in Phoenix in Arizona, Austin in Texas, and then one day probably your city and mine, at which point we're wondering, I'm not sure I want to be in the back of it. I'm not sure I want to be driving on the road with one of those. I'm just not convinced.
Adam, I once saw a Twitter conversation that went sort of like, we need self-driving vehicles, but big enough to carry multiple people, like a self-driving bus on a set loop. And the response was, it's called a train.
Absolutely, yes.
Adam Gilchrist joins us again on Monday for The Worldview. Thanks so much for joining us.
EWN Traffic.
On the N2 outgoing, there's still that vehicle broken down in the left lane at Robert Sobukwe. And traffic is slowing down from Jakes Havel Drive to the M5 on the N2 incoming. And on the N1, you can expect delays from Plattekloof to Sable Road.